Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So I do talk fast, so I really do pray that you guys actually would listen faster, because I don't think I will slow down. I didn't have coffee before this, so just for your sake. So tonight, it was kind of funny. I kind of went backwards. I actually credited my teaching. Actually, Brad asked me Friday to teach, and then I was like, okay, sure, let's do it. You know, and it's fun to gather everything together really quickly. But I feel good about this tonight. And I asked the Lord a lot of times, who am I teaching to? You know, like I know a lot of you guys, but still, just like, what's the audience I'm teaching to? And I saw this almost like horses in the starting pen, like racehorses, ready to go. Just powerful horses, just ready to go. And that's kind of how I see you guys, just ready to boom, just to go. And so if I talk to you like a horse tonight, I apologize. That's it's just like a horse whisper. No. But there's a sense of anticipation, though. There's a sense of I don't know, just excitement that is in hearts and whatnot. Tonight's teaching, I'm going to call, it's called Courage Through Transition. Give you a little history, kind of about my life of transitions. I've been either a student or a teacher, a school teacher, my entire life. And so I literally lived from summer, you know, fall semester, spring semester, or, you know, winter, spring semester. Like my life is transitions all the time. And then obviously you have the other transitions, the spiritual transitions, and the my life is transitions. And you'd think someone would be good at it, but no. they've always been very interesting. Hard, I mean, everyone knows these are hard learning experiences when you go through transitions in life. So I used to be part of the prayer room. This was just an incredible moment, a time in my life. And I pray, Lord, bring me back one day, you know. A lot of my growth, most of my growth in the Lord was through the prayer room and this community that I ran with you guys. There's such a place in my heart. Like, I always brag about you guys. I mean, I'm always bragging about you guys. You know, there's just anytime I get a chance to talk about the prayer room or, you know, here or just the prayer movement in general. It's kind of funny. You get outside of the prayer movement, there's a lot of people who have no clue that it exists. You're like, really? You don't know? And so that's like, let me tell you about these people. And it just stirs me up. So I really encourage you guys. Which is funny, yesterday I was at Starbucks just preparing for this. And of all places, a lady walks up and gives me a prophetic word. I'm like, sure, okay, what you got? Hopefully it's of the Lord. She told me in the Leviticus, and just the verse I got was, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Woo! Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering. And I'm sure you guys heard this verse, but on the fire and burn that fat on the fellowship offerings, the fire must be kept burning. So just, I don't know, keep going. Don't stop. I mean, you guys got this new building, you know. And I apologize, I'm kind of going back and forth between TPR and here. I'm assuming everyone knows about TPR. If you don't, well, here you go. This is your introduction to it or something? Yeah. But anyway, just good for us. So besides that, I'll go to where, that was not part of the message, but it was a cool verse to get a prophetic word for. So I did about 7 years with the prayer room and this community, and the Lord had me, just started speaking to me. I'm going to get you out of here. You know, we're going to be moving out of here to a new adventure, a new journey, I was just terrifying, just because I didn't know anything different. I expected to be part of the prayer room or the prayer movement for my entire life. You know, I'd set myself to do that. What happened right after that was, Ashley and I had recently gotten married after that, and we went to a church out in Cedar Hill, and I figured I had I guess the best way I can put it is the scaffolding of spiritual disciplines, the scaffolding of momentum and structure in my life to sustain myself spiritually. And what had happened was, for me, was I had built my life up around sacred trust and prayer meetings and just the structure of going to 5 to 6 to 7 different meetings a week, either prayer or teaching, that kind of stuff. That was my, ended up being my personal life with the Lord. And then what happened was I stepped out of it, and it was like my bones got taken out of me, and I was a sack of skin on the ground kind of deal. It's a terrible analogy. But but spiritually, that's what happened. And I had literally had to rebuild my spiritual life with the Lord. It was hard. I mean, just like just my personal time, not having the community around me to build me up and strengthen me and to do it on my own in a way. You know, I had my wife, but and it was odd as well too, because for the first couple of years, you know, we were just fighting like crazy to have community. And this, you guys have some of the most incredible community, bar none, that is out there that I've ever come across. And I've been around to places and seen places. I'm sure you guys have too, but I'm just like, this is incredibly unique that the Lord is doing. And it, so a couple years went by, and me and Ashley were just looking. I'm sorry, this is my wife, Ashley. I'd like to introduce her to you. Hey, guys. Hey, she's lovely. We had a theory of just pour yourself into the community that you're in. Just give yourself, try to hunt people down. I'm just imagine if you had to, I mean, I'm saying you guys would do this, but just if you had to shift churches or community groups, I mean, you have this like plan in your head, this is what I would do if this were ever to happen. And that's what we had. But it was incredibly hard. It was almost like something or someone, God, was keeping us from having community. I mean, it was just like, he was holding our thumb on us, and it was like we called people left and right. It was so hard. And so anyways, we were stuck kind of by ourselves, and it was the Lord kind of drawing us in. He's like, come on, me and you. And then also as well, too, he was destroying any pride that existed in me. You know, after doing prayer meetings week after week after week after week after week after week, you get this idea that you know about prayer. And then you go to a place that doesn't quite do it like you know how to do, and you're like, there's this, like, this could, you could do this better. You could do this better. You know, if I was in leadership, I could do, you know, I could help you out. Like, there's this pride that began to get into me. And now he just starts chiseling at it. And it's like, ooh, okay. And I began to value different expressions of prayer. And it was good. What happened was, I realized the Lord brought, I even got put on some kind of leadership over there at that church, and I still had almost little to no community there. And it was weird. It was odd. I almost joined a ministry to actually get community, and it just got worse. It was purposely backfiring on us. And so it was the Lord really just showing us, hey, look at us. Oh, look at me. Like me and you. And when I realized that chiseling began to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And then one day I was praying with the Lord, and the Lord shows me pictures a lot, and it's kind of fun. I was sitting at the bottom of a quarry, a strip mine, here we go, we'll call it that, with the Lord, it's just me and him and a checkers table. And, you know, I was in a hole, probably, you know, huge, if you know what a strip mine looks like, just, I don't know, it's probably a quarter mile down in the earth. Just looking up, I was like, wow, this is nuts. And it was the Lord, you know, I almost pictured him just getting off the bulldozer, you know, just, hey, here we go. And he was the one who created this huge pit, I guess, like getting out the pride, getting out the things that hindered, you know, our relationship together. And so even today, when I go hang out with Jesus, it's usually me looking at him waiting to make the move on checkers kind of deal. I was like, okay, Lord, what's up? You know, it's so me and him. And it's such a pretty place to be. It's an awesome place to be, and I love it. And so that kind of gives you my journey, I guess you could say, my last transition. So Courage of Transition, that's the title of this. So I didn't handle that transition well. It seems like a lot of times for me, even when I saw transition coming, it was like, you know, I'm seeing it coming, and I'm following Jesus. I'm like, yeah, this is great, here it comes. And he turns, and I just keep on like, whoa, where'd he go? And I follow him over here, and it's, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months. It seemed like the transition of catching a weight. Jesus is not in front of me. Where did he go? Kind of a thing. He transitioned somewhere else. And my prayer has been of lately, because I've had so many transitions, to Lord, limit that time of transition. You know, give me grace in transition. It's always bound to happen. Ecclesiastes 3, you know, a time to, you know, all that list of times, a season of this, a season of that. We always have seasons. We have transitions. And so it's a good prayer to pray. Just if there's whatever transition happens, babies are big ones. Man, you see them coming for 9 months and it's still just a blind side. Like, oh, okay, this is, you have to learn how to readjust and how to focus on life and whatnot. So anyways, just kind of picture that. You're following Jesus, and he's saying, we're going to move. And he tells you, too. That's the sad part. He tells you sometimes he's going to transition, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, and you're looking at it, and you see him. I mean, you feel him turn, but you didn't know where he turned back at, and you're like, oh, man, where are you at? Okay, so anyways, and so that's just kind of what's going on as far as transition. Not changing topics, but it'll seem like it for a sec, but for the past 7 years, I'd say, even when I was with the prayer room, I would have dreams about different things. A lot of times it's military, like I was wearing a military uniform. I would be wearing, sometimes it was like a baseball uniform or a football uniform, or I was a part of a team. And a lot of times I would not be wearing, not have shoes on or not have the right, you know, top on or not have the right pants on or something. And just, I was always kind of out of uniform. I was part of the team. I was there, but it always seemed like, you know, where am I, you know, where, why am I not dressed right? You know, shooting. And I don't know. I would ask the Lord. I would seek the Lord in it. And just, I mean, years, I would have the same type of dream that would come on, you know, and I think I would know what the answer was, the interpretations, and I've always had a hard time with dream interpretation, and I think a lot of you guys probably, sometimes they're just hard, you know, and you write them down, and you hold on to them, you know, you don't give up on them, because a lot of times you know it's from the Lord, and you're like, I think I know what you're saying, but, you know, sometimes you just put it on the shelf and wait for it. Until recently, so like I said, this is for 7 years, I probably 20 at minimum dreams like this were not fully clothed in some form or fashion. And recently, I'll read out of Matthew chapter 22. And I'm sure you'll recognize the parable, Matthew 22, verse 11 through 13. And it says, when the king came in to look at, the guest, he saw a man there who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him out into the darkness. And a lot of times, for most part of my life, I've read this as just a salvation parable. You know, the clothing of righteousness. You know, they're not clothed in righteousness, and so it's saved versus not saved. And anyway, so what hit me recently, it was, I don't know, it was actually a word I heard from a minister, and he pointed it out. He said the guest, he was not dressed for the occasion. And just the way he said that, I'm sure you've heard that before, you're like, oh. And then all of a sudden, all these 20 dreams that just went through my head, I wasn't dressed for the occasion. I wasn't ready. I wasn't dressed for that occasion. In this context, the guy was still wearing old garments, the old way of life. He wasn't dressed for the wedding. And so what I realized was I was not dressed for the occasion of that time in my life, if I was a military uniform. I was not dressed for the occasion as far as going to war in some form or fashion, you know, with the Lord. Or I was not dressed for the occasion. Anyways, just on and on. You know, just sometimes I'd have everything on, but like, those times I was not dressed for the occasion. And so, I just had some thoughts that I kind of listed out. One of them was, you know, don't come dressed wearing old garments, you know. And what I'm saying here, guys, is the Lord has a calling in your life. He has a destiny for you. He has a purpose for you. And you have different hats you wear. There's different positions you will have. There's different ways that he will call upon you. They shift sometimes, or not even shift. It's more like either they grow or something. It's alive, you know. It changes, you know. Teacher, if it's a prophet, or if it's evangelist, or elder of encouragement. That's once Brad gave me. That was my first title ever, whatever that was. But, you know, it's always changing. You know, it's father. You know, I wasn't a father, and I am, you know, and the things, seasons change, they always change, and so are you dressed for the occasion, you know, is it winter, is it summer, is it, you know, and so are you dressed for the occasion, and so the questions are, you know, or the comments, don't come dressed wearing old garments, how you dressed is a statement of who you are, how you dressed shows commitment to your loyalties, your dress qualifies or disqualifies you. And so, transition again. You're following Jesus. He shifts the perspective that you should be in. And are you following? A lot of times, the Lord changes the way he talks to you. He changes the way he is doing things in your life. A lot of times, people will start complaining, oh, I'm not hearing God. Actually, while I was at that church, it was really hazy to hear God. And what I realized, I was looking over here, and he was looking over here. I was like, I should have just shifted my thought of what he was doing. And there was a transition. I wasn't wearing the white clothes. And it felt awkward. And just like, what am I doing? It's very frustrating. You're stuck in that spot. I mean, just imagine being lost. And you're supposed to be following Jesus. Not lost, but like, you know, like you didn't catch the transition. And yeah. So, let me keep here. So, are you dressed for the occasion? Are you wearing the correct clothing of your transition? I mean, and so, like, have you transitioned? I feel like you guys are at the starting blocks, ready to rock and roll. You know, are you dressed to just get released and go? You know? And then also what I've learned as well, too, I was very frustrated. A lot of times I would not have the correct equipment in my dreams. A lot of times it was a bad gun, you know, in my dreams, or if it was a bad baseball bat or something, or just somehow or another, I wouldn't have the right equipment. And what I realized was it was transition. My equipment that I would use to get the job done was different than what I would see with people around me. Don't necessarily have a great example, but like recently the Lord's been focusing me on me being a teacher. I realized being a teacher, not just school teacher, but a teacher and, you know, spiritually, was one of my tools. And I was thinking, you know, I love the warrior mentality. It's like warrior, that's great. And then the dreams, I wouldn't have a right gun or something. And I realized that the tool I was supposed to have wasn't necessarily, you know, being a hardcore, you know, fiery intercessor, but it was in the context of teaching was my tool. And so it's like I had different tools to just recognize the tool the Lord's given you to get the job done in your context. Obviously, prayers, I'm not saying don't pray, I'm just saying, but there's a different, somebody else's tools to get the job done is different than maybe what you have in your hands, okay? And just asking the Lord for that, what is that? And then the question I began to ask is, Lord, how do I know how to dress? Like, okay, great. I'm not wearing the right clothes. Okay, I'm the awkward guy in the military who's not wearing the right clothes. How do I recognize what I should be dressing in? And what he spoke into my heart was abide, is the John chapter 15. And it was get as close to Jesus as possible, you know, and recognize what he's wearing is what I should be wearing. You know, if you see him from a distance, you're not going to really understand what he's wearing. But let me just kind of read through this real quick. So I'm sure you guys have read this before, but if you want to open it up, you can. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that will be even more fruitful. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I don't know if you guys know much about vines at all. I don't. I've never got a chance to actually use them, but I've heard just a little bit about how they work. So grapevines, for that matter. So grapevines, they're a vine. They kind of twirl up a, I guess you can imagine, like a little fence, I guess you could say, or whatever the vine-holding sticks are. That's a technical term. What they do is they grow up, and then they branch out. They go straight out. Like, a lot of times you have a wire that they kind of grow out on. And what it does is it grows out, and it begins to grow grapes from it. And then, but it also, that little vine just keeps going, actually. And as a vineyard, as a gardener, I guess you can say, if you don't prune that vine where the fruit grows, that vine will just keep on going and going and going. And actually what happens, the plant actually uses all its energy just to keep going, and there's no energy to grow their fruit, and their fruit's terrible. And so that's why, Jesus is talking about here, if you don't, I mean, he's pruning. If you had to cut it right out the fruit, and then all the energy would go into the grapes, and the grapes are like huge and they're awesome, like I said. And if you don't, it grows out. And actually, what it says was, if that vine will grow and grow and grow and grow, and actually just kind of just falls off, and it's fruitless. You know, it just keeps going and going and going and going. And so what they do is they cut it off anyway. So if it keeps it going, there's no fruit, they cut it off. And if the grapes are growing, they still cut it. So it's kind of funny, because either way you get cut. But obviously it's the value of pruning. I mean, you guys can kind of hear the ministry or the application here. He says he cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. It must remain in the vine. Receive everything. There we go. My wife has been saying this. And I love this, and I'm really trying to make it a prayer, is when I am going through a pruning, however that may look, when I am actually experiencing, usually I try to squirm out of it as much as possible when I'm going through that time of where the Lord's chopping stuff off my life, and it's painful and it hurts. And if you don't understand what's going on, it's even that much more painful and confusing, and it's a whirlwind. You know, I thought I was a great football player once, and I was running one time, and I really experienced what a blindside was. And I was about to tackle a guy, and I just got hit, and I realized I was 30 feet away, and like I couldn't find out what just happened to me. You know, I was just blindsided, just really just drilled. And you know, it happens to us. Winds come, the storms come, the rain comes, and the pruning, even in the goodness of pruning, it comes. It's gonna come. Apart from him, you can't bear any fruit. So he's got to prune you. He's got to. He has to, in order for the transition to be successful. And so Ashley, she prays this all the time. And I've really tried to add it to my life is, Lord, I want to receive everything that you have for me in this season. I don't want to leave this situation unless I have everything that you have for me. I want all the promises. I want everything that's going to happen. Even in this pain, even in this thing, I want to get everything that you have for me. And there's been so many times where I try to squirm my way out of it and didn't. I knew I didn't receive everything the Lord had for me, but he's loving, he's kind, he's gracious. I mean, he's just like, all right, let's do it again. There's a great... back in the ancient Jewish times, there'd be a father and a son, and the father would train his son to be just like him. His goal was to be an equal business partner, you know. And so he would give these tasks to his son, and these little tasks would be a test. Kind of a pruning, I guess you can say, to see, can you handle the situation? And he'd give him a business situation where he'd be put under the fire and like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can handle this. And then if he did, yeah, he did. So the father would plan another task for the son to do. And this is probably your kind of teenage son, a little older. And, right before he became a man kind of thing. And he'd give him another task, another task, another task. And if the son completed those tasks, received everything that was set for him, the father would bring him before the village, whatever, And to validate him before everybody, he would say, hey, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And so when he would say that, it would be this validation of his word is my word. His signature is my signature. It's this, he's been through the trials. He's been through the pruning, and he knows how to be my equal, I guess you can say. And then he began to walk out and live his life as if he's a partner, you know, an heir, I guess you can say, an equal with his father. And obviously you've heard that, my son, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. God did that to Jesus, told everyone, hey, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He had received the pruning. And so, and anyways, it's just kind of an idea of what's going on here. So just to kind of imagine, transition is a form of pruning. Transition is if you catch the transition, you shift with it, you learned everything, you shift. There's this, it's a quicker transition. It's you go into the new transition with more vigor, more life, more energy, you know, when you've received everything you've had in that season. Anyways, and so let's keep going here. And let's get past that. So one of the things too is how do you know what your season is? You know, a lot of times you miss it because you're not listening. You know, the Spirit of God is moving, is always speaking, is always changing, you know, shifting and moving around. He's alive. He's not stagnant by any means. How do you know? And one of the chapters, I guess, it's a verse out of Matthew 13. It's the parable of the seed and the sower. You know, you've all heard it before. You have the gardener, he scatters seed on the ground, and we have the seed that hits the rocky path and the birds take it. You have the seed that is on the rocky ground and it gets scorched by the sun. There's no depth there. You have the seed on the thorns and you have the good soil, which produces all kinds of, 60-100-fold what's going on. But we've heard that. And in most of my life, I've seen that as salvation, you know, that's a salvation verse, you know. Yes, it is. But verse 11 in that, Matthew 13, 11, right afterwards, Jesus says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. This is like the key to the, like, understanding how God gives things in the kingdom of heaven. It's his word is the seed. His word is what drops in the promise of what's happening, your season, what's happening. His word is what leads you and guides you and tells you, I'm going into transition. His word is the thing that is what's going on. So, like, if you feel like you're missing transition in your life right now, at whatever area, not necessarily your life as a whole, you probably have, I don't know, 6 different areas of your life, 5 different areas of your life, you know, have you received the word dropped in you, you know, and it's the key to the kingdom. It's like, how have you received the word? And so as far as transition, knowing what your transition is check yourself, you know, definitely check yourself. Was it on rocky path? Did it take it from you? You know, did the enemy come in and just snatch that from you? Was it on rocky ground or scorched by the sun? You know, did it not have depth in that area of your life? There are some areas where you're like, yeah, I feel like I'm doing very well in that area. You know, I'm not to, you know, give yourself levels, but like just to know that you're confident in those areas. But obviously, those areas where it's, you know, you probably know you didn't receive that seed on you. You know, maybe there was some thorns of this world that came and just snatched it out of your life. You know, I could think of areas where in my life where I know I just it got snatched. It got squeezed out. And you're like, man, okay, I didn't hear. I didn't receive the seed. I didn't receive the word of the Lord in that area. I didn't receive his promise about that problem or that situation that's going on. And so, and then obviously, you know, your goal is to make it good soil. And so I encourage you guys, I don't know, whenever I see that verse or whatever, those verses, I don't picture the Lord just taking seed and just pounding at you kind of deal. I don't see it like that. I see it like dropping like a dove, you know, like soft, gentle, still small voice of God kind of stuff. It's this very, very subtle, just laying, you know, kind of deal. And it's just, it's very gentle. And what I'm learning lately is to value that subtlety more than, I mean, I'm just as much as like the powerful, like thunder God stuff that happens where you're like, whoa, that's God. Those are cool. You know, like the moments where it's just, you have the suddenly of God just hits you and you're like, yeah, that's awesome. And it marks you forever. But to be marked by those subtleties, those small, soft words that tell you where you are, what season you're in, that you recognize. And I hope you guys are kind of thinking about your lives right now as far as like, what season am I in? You know, if you don't know, this should be your prayer right now. What is it? What season am I in? What am I just out of a transition? Am I going into one? Am I just in the middle of the season? You know, kind of deal. And I want you guys asking the Lord that. And that's why I'm kind of talking about this seed deal. So if you feel hard, it's like really hard for you to understand, you know, what season or where you're at, you know, check yourself as far as the key to the kingdom, you know, like where am I at, you know, just see if there's anything being, troubleshoot yourself. Just, you know, is it the world? Is there no depth there? Or is it the enemy just snatching it from me? Let's see here. One of the transitions that I'm in right now, and I was kind of dense for a while. Whenever I pray a lot of times, I see Lord shows me a picture of a dog, like a puppy of some sort, with different aspects to it. And to me, that means friendship, you know, man's best friend kind of deal. And it was the Lord showing me friendship. We're in a season of friendship. This is a friendship time. And he kind of spoke to me through that. I'm trying to see here, out of John 15, verse 15, it's right there. It says, I no longer call you servants, or another translation is slaves, because a servant doesn't know what his master's business, doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. It's this, I didn't realize, I've been making a shift from servant to friend. And I was a little dense to it. And so, like, now it's starting to, okay. The way he talked to me has been different now. The way, for a lot, you know, as a slave or a servant, you ask the Lord everything. You know, just think of a slave. They don't know the master's business. They're not allowed to. A slave, just takes orders, you know. Pick up the crops, or, you know, clean the house, do this, just do that. And a lot of times, we as Christians will do that with the Lord. And that's where we start. We start as slaves. We're slaves to righteousness when you come to Christ. I mean, you're right there. But you don't start as a friend of the Lord. You transition into that. And so my transition right now is the Lord speaking that into me. I was like, okay, this is cool. And he's literally changed the way he talks to me. I really wanted to watch the Super Bowl tonight. Thanks, Brad. No, I'm just kidding. But and so Friday night, I was like, God, do I teach on Sunday? You know, and then normally it was yes, no, yes, no. It was like kind of like you would a slave, you know, just yes, do it. No, don't do it. But it was go for it, Hank. That's a friend talking, you know, kind of deal. I'm starting to learn the way he would speak to you. So the Lord's going to speak to you differently in the season you're in. I'm glad to be here. Please, I don't think I'm stuck here teaching instead of not watching the. I really don't care about the football game, but anyway, just recognize that, you know, there's certain transitions that happen, and he, like I said, he talks differently to you, he shows things differently to you, and you got to recognize that. Back to that, I'm looking over here, and he's looking over here, or he's talking one way, or whatever. You know, sometimes he's not talking in the still small voice; he's talking to you out into just the everyday things of life, you know, just cool things start happening, or you start seeing numbers. That's an interesting one. Or whatever it may be, but just recognize how he's talking to you in your season, and then get good at that, and then just ask the Lord for grace in the transition, and when it happens, it changes. You're like, oh, he's over here now. And you start changing with that. Then, let's see here. So it's been kind of fun. I've never kind of done this. I was going to do it tonight. Have y'all ever heard of the Last of the Mohican soundtrack? Yeah. It's like, it just makes you want to be, just go into, it makes you want to pick up a musket and run into battle. But if you don't know anything about The Last Mohican Sound, there's a soundtrack on it that's incredible, that just is very motivating. And I literally just found a place I can repeat that song over and over and over again. So, like, as I'm teaching this, I'm feeling this, like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's do this. This is awesome. I encourage you guys, if you spend a couple hours just playing that soundtrack over and over, just that song over and over again, I found, like, 15 different versions. And so I just kept on, it was awesome. And so, like, so while I'm preparing for this, I mean, the word is courage during transition. Like, give you guys courage during your transitions to go into it with as a warrior. I go into it as a bold, just fiery-hearted lover of Jesus. You know, it's I don't know. It really got into me. And the verse that really hit me, and my plan was to have that music start playing and start going in your heads. And you're like, yeah, I could do this. I could do this, you know, kind of thing. But I chose to kind of lighten up a little bit. But it's a little further into John 16, 31 to 33. I'm sure you've heard this before. It just really spoke to my heart today. It says, in verse 31, it says, "You believe at last," Jesus answered, "but a time is coming and has come when you'll be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace," which is not a peaceful statement. "In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And I see Jesus speaking into our hearts as that night, like that song going on. "I have overcome the world. Take heart. You know, you'll be scattered." Not saying that you will be. I'm just saying, but like there's a transition that's going to come, that's going to feel like you got blindsided. But there's transitions that are going to come that don't look like you've been blindsided, but spiritually you just feel just off. And he says, "Take heart, you know, so that in you may have peace. And in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I have overcome." And so it's this, stay as close to Jesus as possible. Stay as close to Jesus as possible. Military, you stay when you're marching, when you're out in the field, and you keep an eye on the guy in front of you. Don't lose your sight on them. If you do, you don't know where everyone went. It's terrifying. It can be terrifying. I don't know. I just picture my face in the back of Jesus, just holding on to him. I used to do that when I went to haunted houses. I don't know why I ever did that a long time ago, but like holding on the person in front of me, just not even looking at anything. You know, I'm 6'2", big guy. No, I was scared. Don't do that. But I picture that, and like when he does turn, you're going with him, and he says things to disciples. You're going to be scattered. You know, you may lose community, you know. I lost community, and so it took me months, years actually, to realize what was going on. I didn't have my nose buried into the back of Jesus's back as he's turning left to right. He's your leader. He's your shepherd. He goes where you go, where he goes. And anyway, so with the Last Mohican Song in your head, I've always wanted to teach with music in the background. Just never have been bold enough to do it. Are you ready to dress for your occasion? I'll let that sink. Are you ready to dress for your occasion? Are you committed to it? Are you loyal to it? Are you fully there? Is half your clothing yes and half your clothing no? Nah, I don't think so. Okay. Are you ready to commit to the occasion? I had a word the Lord gave me. Once again, it was a picture. I was in a balloon, a hot air balloon, and it was about 10 feet off the ground. And it was cool. I've never been in a hot air balloon and just kind of enjoying that. But like kind of looking down, all of a sudden this lion jumped up where I was at and just grabbed onto it. And I was like, whoa, you know, it was very fierce, very dangerous. And you know, the claw, I mean, just my closeness to it would have hurt me if I got any closer. But it fell back down and it did it again. And then I looked down and there were several lions on the ground just kind of walking around. And I don't know. The Lord just spoke into my heart. I just love this. It was an invitation. It wasn't like they were trying to eat me. I mean, partly they were trying to play with me, I guess. But it was, do you want to run with them? I was like, ooh, cool. you know, and it played in my head, but there's about a 10 to 12 foot drop. I would have hurt myself, probably broken a leg or something, if I would have jumped out of that hot air balloon. And it was a hot air balloon that was, I'm obviously a military interest, I guess you can say. But in the World War I, World War II, they had hot air balloons that they would use as observation points. So you go pretty high up there and you can spot things out and everything. And that's what the kind of balloon this was. It was an observation balloon. And I was like, yeah, I want to run with them. I've caught myself jumping out, just flopping onto the ground with no grace whatsoever. And then I turned into a lion. And it was, so you want to run with lions? So that's my question for you guys tonight. Do you want to run with lions? Or do you want to find the safety of sitting in the hot air balloon observing? Do you want to fully embrace the season you're in? Or do you want to sit back and observe? It's safe, from the lions, but it is incredibly dangerous because you can be blown by the winds. The winds can blow you back and forth. In fact, emotionally, that's usually what happens. And so I do encourage you guys, run with the lions, get out there, and you guys are powerhouses. That's why a lot of times I'm nervous teaching to you guys, because you guys are just powerhouses in the Lord. I'm like, gosh, I don't have anything to give to them. But you guys are incredible. Like, think of the fierceness of a pack of lions running together in unity together. It's wild, but it is. There's something powerful about it. Obviously, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one leading the pack. But I do encourage you guys, if you're about to come to a transition, if you just come out of one and you're in a new season, or you're right smack dab in the middle of it, stick your nose into Jesus's back and then jump out. It's messy. It is messy. It is. Lions are messy. There's no structure to it. But they run with nobility. They run with honor. They run protecting each other, and they're friends with each other and that kind of stuff. So I just really encourage you guys, jump out, go for it. Whatever it is, whatever area of life you're in. I really encourage you guys, have courage through the transition.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.